The book of Mark tonight will be in Mark chapter number 10, Mark chapter number 10, and God has given us a wonderful day already, a wonderful weekend, many people saved. We're thankful for that. Additions to the church this morning, I'm thankful for that as well. All the hard work that has gone into the day. I enjoyed a men's meeting last night with the men with some food and some fellowship and some teaching, and I'm thankful for the men of our church and the leadership that they provide. Recognizing people tonight, I couldn't recognize everyone, but certainly those that work on staff with me, the deacons that serve alongside of me, and then so many of you who just provide leadership and stability in this church. The devil hates this church. You do realize that, right? The devil hates any church that's going to keep people out of hell. The devil hates any church that's going to stand and propagate the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate we have many, many strong, faithful Christians, and so I'm just very nostalgic tonight. I don't know why, but I guess I'm feeling old. But I'm a young old man. So Mark chapter number 10, because of what we've already done, and at the end we're going to dismiss a little bit differently because we want you to have time. We do need some help in different ministries. We do need some to say, okay, this is something I'm going to commit to. This is something I'm going to be involved in. And so I want to give you time to do that. And Brother Hannah, if you'll be ready to give those instructions, if there's any instructions at the end of the service. And I'm going to attempt to preach a little shorter tonight. And so we'll be done by 9:30, don't worry. But I do want to get the point across this evening. Mark chapter number 10, verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them. Now, Jesus the Son of God, if he has something to say, we probably should pay close attention. He calls them to him, and he has something that he directly wants them to hear, not just to hear it, but to capture it, to get it. That's how we should approach the Word of God anyway. But let's notice what he says. Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. He's talking about a leadership structure. You know that Roman Empire? You see, those Gentiles, these empires, they set up that lordship and they're lording over. Verse 43, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall get the most Instagram followers. Is that what the Bible says? No. Shall be the most popular? No. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. He is teaching them that if you want to move up in ministry, serve. Because moving up is not moving up a ladder, it's moving down, if you will, so that you may serve others. For even the Son of Man, get this, even me, is what the Lord's saying, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Tonight I want to speak very simply on the life that serves. The life that serves. Question I'm going to ask you before I pray, we all know the answer to, how many lives do you have? What do you want your life to be about? How do you want your life to be summarized? Do we want it to be that we achieved all the dreams and we accomplished everything that the American dream had to offer? And I thank God for the American dream. I thank God for the freedoms we have. What is it that we want our life to represent? Well, I would submit to you tonight that if Jesus himself said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And the one that serves is the one that is the chiefest of all. Let's consider this tonight, the life that serves. Father, we come to you tonight grateful for what you've already done, thankful for the opportunity we have to serve you. Use the message tonight to your honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think we would all agree tonight that we live in a world that is obsessed with notoriety, obsessed with fame, obsessed with being someone, obsessed with having others serve us. People want recognition. They want position. They want influence and platform. Even in churches today, there's that subtle thought, there's that direction, and it's an attitude of what can the church do for me? Now, we could testify tonight about what God's church has done for us and will do for us, but that's not the attitude that we should approach church with. It's what can I do for Christ? What can I do to serve through the church? See, we must be reminded that when it comes to Scripture, we don't find the model, and you have to be very, very careful. There's leadership philosophies. There's philosophies of our society of the day that says, achieve for yourself. After all, you deserve more. But we cannot allow that to cloud our mindset as a Christian, because as we've been reminded on Sunday mornings on the subject of mercy, the only thing we deserve is hell. See, the greatest life ever lived, could we agree it was Jesus Christ? The greatest life ever lived by the greatest person was not a life of being served, but a life of serving. And if we're going to follow him, and it's a popular cliche thing to say in the spiritual world today is, I'm following Jesus, I'm going to be a disciple of Christ. Well, that's not just believing the right things, that's in our behavior. And we have to, and I don't think we have this in our church, and I don't want it to get here, is why I'll make this, the next couple of statements that I'm going to make. But it seems like sometimes when it comes to our mindset that serving is secondary Christianity. I want to do enough so I can get to a place where I can be served. You young couples who are just getting started in marriage, I made a statement this morning or last night with the men. I said, if you got to go home and you got to announce that you're in charge, you're not. That's why you listen to people. They tell you, I'm this. They're not. You have to serve. Leadership is service. Serving is not secondary Christianity. Serving is Christianity in action. How can we show that we're Christians and say, well, Pastor, I can wear a t-shirt that says, I'm a disciple of Christ. You could, but then if you're not serving, that's kind of hypocritical. Maybe the greatest thing we could do as Christians is just serve, and that would show others what kind of Christian we are. Let me give you several things this evening. Number one, there's the example of serving. Our Lord, Christ came to serve. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And I'm going to move very quickly, and so listen fast, because there's a lot that I want to cover. That statement alone contradicts human thinking. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came as a servant. Think about this, the Creator served the creation. The Master took the place of the lowest. Jesus did not come demanding a throne, he was washing feet. Not only did he declare this about himself, but he demonstrated it personally. If we were to turn to John 13, now not tonight because of time, we find the account of Jesus before he goes to the cross, he took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. Why did he do this? Certainly in that day, the feet would get dirty, but this was the job of the lowest servant in the house. As there would be many servants, you didn't want to be the lowest servant because you were washing feet. But yet, not because it was expected of him, but because Christ was showing why he came and showing an example that he was willing to take the lowest position. And friend, when it comes to our service to one another, our service in God's church, oh, let's not ever have the mindset, well, I could do this, but I really have more to offer than that. You have more to offer than being a servant? If our Lord was willing to take the lowest position as a servant, you and I should follow the same. We are called in that same chapter, John 13:15, Jesus said, "For I have not given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Christ is letting them know to follow this example. Christ set an example not just for the sake of setting an example so we could follow it. Let me ask you tonight, Christian, let me ask you, member of Emmanuel Baptist Church, are you willing to serve in those low, unthankful positions? Are you willing to do anything that is required for the cause of Christ? I hope that we keep that attitude. I hope we keep that spirit of service. Let me say number two, there's the heart of serving. I said number one, there's the example of serving. There's the heart of serving. Philippians 2:3 says, "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves." We don't need to have an ego problem inside the church. One of the things I love about the Emmanuel Baptist Church is there's no caste system. There's no level other than, hey, we're all in this together. We're all saved by the grace of God. We're all children of God. We're all family. You may be somebody out there, but in here, you're just a sinner saved by the grace of God. You may have everybody out there, you may be CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and you may snap your finger and you may get what you want, but when you come into the house of God, we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. We're all serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We all deserve the same hell, but we're all recipients of the same mercy. We must keep that heart of serving. You know what it requires? It requires humility. We should not be as the Pharisees were, "Lord, help me not to be as so-and-so." Or, "I'm thankful that I'm not as bad as this person." It requires humility to serve. See, this is a good statement to remember. Serving begins where pride ends. Our pride says, "I deserve better. Clean the restrooms." We don't deserve anything. Humility says, "How can I help?" Now, there's nothing wrong with letting other people volunteer to clean those restrooms, but you got to be willing to. Serving requires love. The book of Galatians reminds us, by love, serve one another. What if you told the people you live with in your house that you love them, but you never did anything for them? You think those words would be hollow? Absolutely, they're hollow. See, that's how we show. You can serve without love, certainly, but it's not coming from a heart of love. It can become mechanical, it becomes cold. I've used this illustration often. Some of you like Chick-fil-A. And it's okay if you got if Taco Bell's closed, it's okay. And so many of you have worked there, some of you still work there. And you know where I'm going on this, don't you? No matter what you do or say, the person is trained behind that counter or wherever you are to say, "My pleasure." And I've always submitted to you that I think they're lying. I don't think they're doing it because it's their pleasure. I think they're doing it to get a paycheck. Doesn't that make sense to you? But let me take that a little step further, lest some of you think I'm attacking God's chicken. You know, I'm not. In that scenario, if one of those Chick-fil-A employees, they say that, "My pleasure," how they say it does matter. "Hey, could I get a refill? My pleasure. I'm not catching the vibe there. The whole time, but imagine serving the Lord. Hey, could you? We had this need. I did it. How you say it, how you do it matters. I'm glad it's done. And ultimately, I wanted a refill. I got a refill. Now I'm in a bad mood. And I'm glad you're closed on Sunday. You got to close on Saturday too now. I mean, I'm just. But how is that when it comes to God's house? How does it come with us working with one another? How can it come with, well, they wanted me to do this too? Or and oh, this, I mean, I've already served in one capacity this month, and now they're asking me to do another. I understand that sometimes you got to balance the pressure of life, but there ought to be a heart serving requires love. True service flows from a heart that genuinely cares. This is an illustration that I hadn't thought of, but it illustrates this. When our daughter Amanda was in the hospital for all of those months before she passed away, you got to know who the nurses were, the doctors were in that pediatric intensive care. And I'm going to be honest, there were some, as soon as we saw them in, it was like, this is going to be a long night. Oh, I hope we get through the day. Because they did what they were required to do. And ultimately, your child needed to be cared for. If their life needed to be saved, they would save it. But all the weight and the weariness that they would bring in a room, because their heart just was not in it. Now, how sad would it be for someone to come to church for the first time or the second time, and for an usher to be at their post, but their heart just says, why are you even here? I just opened the door, and now I got to open it for you too? Or a nursery worker, and that visitor comes in, and they leave that baby there, and they have their 27 pages of instructions. It's their first child. 27 pages of instructions. They don't know that you've been doing that for 37 years. They don't know that you reared 22 kids of your own. They don't know any of that. How that heart that comes with that humility and that love says, let me care for your child so that you can go get what you need spiritually. Serving requires sacrifice. These words carry weight that our Lord said because He's our Lord. But He didn't just serve with His words, He served with His life. Many of you are training for ministry, or you feel God's called you to ministry, or are working in ministry. Ministry is something that you decide to do with your life. It's sacrifice. It comes from saying, this is what I'm going to do. You're not going to get a thank you every time. Your motives are going to be questioned. It requires a sacrifice. There's no place in the ministry for that entitlement of, I can't believe somebody would lie about me. Welcome to the ministry. I know what they were thinking when they said that. Good. I didn't even know what I was thinking when I was said that. Can you help me out? Let me know what I was thinking. We sign everybody's motives. We can read everybody's mind. And what we have to be reminded of, it's sacrifice. Serving will cost you your time. It will cost you energy. It will cost you comfort. It will cost you convenience. But might I remind us all, anything that costs us nothing accomplishes nothing. It's supposed to cost us something. Let me deal very quickly, number three, the areas of serving. serving is not limited to a position. Many Christians sometimes say, well, if I ever get a position or a title, I'll understand what serving means. It's not that. It's a lifestyle. The Bible is full of examples of people serving, and then because they were serving, God gives them more and more opportunities to serve. The truth of the matter is, once you capture a real servant's heart and you say, this is the way I'm going to live, the title just gets in your way. The position is just something that's there. And it's like, this is a good time for me, and I think I know the answer to those that work on staff with me in whatever capacity. If you couldn't have the title, if you couldn't have a paycheck, if you couldn't do those things, would you still do it? Do you feel called to do that? I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying with that. I'll just leave it at that. Because I can tell you, God put a call on my life to preach the gospel. I believe God has called me to be the pastor of this church. And this church takes great care of me. But I can tell you, because of what I love to do, what I want to do, I would do it for nothing. Now, do not put me to test on that. And might I say, there's been periods of time when I have done it for nothing. I don't say that to do anything but say, if we're serving, the pastor doesn't get overtime. And every tragedy, every difficulty, it doesn't happen during business hours. That's just the reality of it. But it's about serving and serving with that servant's heart and serving in the church. Might I remind us, every believer has a role. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body. That means you're not here by accident. Every member is meant to minister in some ways. It's participation. It's one of the reasons why we have a great spirit in this church. People who come and visit for the first time, it always happens at our annual conference, and people come through and say, the spirit of this church is just different than the other churches I've visited. It's not in the water. A big part of it comes from a heart of service. This is a church that has always served. This is a church that continues to serve. If we ever lose our heart of being a servant, we lose so much. We serve in the church. That's why we have days like today, is to give everybody an opportunity to serve in some capacity. But it's not just serving in the church. A lot of us can say, okay, I can do that. How about serving in the home? We know that God's order is the husband, then the wife, then the kids. So let me remind all the young couples, it's not the kids, then everybody else. It's the husband, the wife, the kids. Like I already said, if you got to go home, men, and say, I'm in charge, you're not in charge. More appropriate would be like, thank you for letting me be in charge. And we know this, and I've written about it. Serving in the home is the husband should be serving the wife. Now, ladies, hold on. I'll get to you in a minute. Well, that's her domain. Yeah, it is. But what's wrong with you as a leader serving? I took out the garbage last month. I hesitate to use this illustration, but I'm going to. As this afternoon, I was packing for my early flight tomorrow, and my wife, as you know, is very sick. And I had done laundry and getting things ready, and she's like, I'm sorry you have to do that. And I'm like, I'm not. I wish I didn't have to do it because it would mean you're not sick. But I don't mind doing this. And maybe that's why God made me independent. I don't mind doing it. I'm not saying that for you to feel sorry for her or feel sorry for me, but it's you serve in the home. Let me help you. As your pastor, I am wanting to lead you to do more in the church. I'm wanting to remind you it's your responsibility, but that you can come down here and serve all week long, and you can do so many things, but if you don't go home and serve, let me be as clear as I can. Your priorities are out of order. And I believe we have a God who would allow us to do both. And if you come to me as your pastor, I'm going to say, stop serving here until you get home where it ought to be. And then we'll find you another place to serve in church. Because we ought to be serving at home. And since I've already kind of used my situation as an example, I am the head of my house. But I serve. I do my best. Am I perfect at it? No. But why do I do it? That's what leaders do. Now, ladies, lest you get in the car and say, I ain't doing the dishes no more. Why don't you be more like pastor and you do the laundry? What are you know? A wife, a mom serves her family. You know, a lot of times this is the way it is because God made men different than women. And when I give my premarital counseling, I was like, listen to me, if you don't remember anything I ever say to you, you better remember this. And I look to the young lady and I say, he's a man, he's going to think like a man, he's always going to think like a man, and it's not like you. Then I turn to him and say, she's a woman, she's going to think like a woman. Nobody knows what that means, but she's going to think like a woman. And a man is like, oh, we got to be the church. And the wife is, she's got to get the kids ready. She's doing this ready. She's doing this. She's doing this. She's got to clean out a closet before church. I mean, it's just all these different things. I've been working and thinking about this project I got to do. And get out to the car and get everything ready. And you're like, what's going on? What's the problem? Well, she's serving her family. I don't think the Lord was just talking about as a servant. Just in ministry. He was saying, be a servant. And wherever you are, serve. Parents serving their children. Let me shock you, those of you that are having children for the first time, or God may have that in your future. They're not convenient. And it's funny. I'll use my grandchildren and try not to embarrass Colin too much. But Jack now has competition. And Jack's thing is, puts his hand out. Come here. Come on. Come on. I was over there the other day, stopped by to see everybody. It's like, come on. I'm like, we're in the same room. Everything. I wanted you to see this. Come on. Come on. I mean, it's literally get up off the couch, walk 6 feet, and look at this. That's what he wants you to do. I mean, you're 2 years old. You're telling me what to do? I ain't doing that. So I give you my hand, and I get up and take the 6 steps across the living room, and it's like, what do we do now? Come on. And takes me to the other side. That's his thing. Now, that's a silly illustration. But when it comes to how the house is run, the children should not dictate. Well, they didn't want to come to church today, so we didn't come. Well, if they want to come to church today, what else do you make them do against their will? They didn't want to eat today. You're not going to make them eat. They didn't want to go to bed. You're not going to make them go to bed. They didn't want to go to school. You're not going to make them go to school. But they didn't want to go to their church function. Oh, that's optional. It's not optional. We serve our children. We provide for them. We work hard for them. Part of serving them is training them. Serving starts at home. If we cannot serve those closest to us, we'll struggle to serve anyone else and everyone else. We also ought to serve the lost. This is something that it really bothers me. And so I want to guard myself from it. I want to guard us as a church from it. And it's sad to see any of God's people have this mindset. But we'll minister as long as that person can give us something in return. We're trying to win souls. Well, what if they never come to our church? It's our command to give the gospel. Jesus served people who could give him nothing in return. Why do we help the hurting? There's ministries represented, the Amanda Ranch, the Bind the Brokenhearted. What good is that going to do us any good? It's not about whether or not it's going to fill our buildings up. It's about serving. In serving those who may or may not ever be able to do anything for you in return. Let me move very quickly to Roman number 4, the hindrances to serving. I'm going to run through these very quickly. But let's be honest, there are reasons people don't serve. As broad as our ministry has gotten, there's no reason why every member and attender is not serving in some capacity. I'm not scolding you. And if you're new in our church, I'm certainly not scolding you. It's like, look for those opportunities. But there are reasons people don't serve. One is selfishness. Make sure that we're not being selfish, it's keeping us from serving. Well, it's not very convenient. Well, when is it ever convenient? It's not about convenience, it's about commitment. I've committed. We can be selfish. Sometimes we don't serve. This is a hindrance. Some of you might be. We all have a little bit of selfishness, don't we? Well, nobody would agree with me on that. What about comparison? There's lots of ways we could talk about comparison. One of those, we compare. We say, well, I can't do that, or I don't think I should do that, or I'm not able to do that. But then there's the other side of that comparison. Well, this person doesn't serve, so why should I serve? That's why if you're in leadership, you're a servant that comes with leadership. Because that's an example. See, our serving is not measured against whether this person's serving as they should or this person is as sincere as you think they should be. Our measure of a service and a servant is against the Lord Jesus Christ. And he served those who would do nothing for him, could do nothing for him. He washed the feet, took the lowest position of a servant. We ought to be comparing to that. We ought to be striving for that. Then let's be honest, there's weariness. Galatians 6:9 reminds us, let's not be weary in well-doing. Serving can be tiring. Sunday tired's different than other days tired. You get up early, you serve. You're in church, you serve. Serving can be tiring. Sometimes, don't make this mistake. Weariness is not a signal to quit. It's a signal to draw strength from God. Some might would take that, let's not be weary and well-doing. I need to drop off some things. That's not what that is teaching. It's reminding us you can get weary in well-doing, meaning it's going to wear you out. We're fighting the devil all week. We're trying to meet the needs that we have in our family. And then we have service of others on top of us and dealing with people and helping people, teaching a Sunday school class, whatever it may be. But it takes energy out of you. It's like, I'm weary. That does not mean that you're necessarily supposed to drop some things off. It means that you got to get more strength from God. It's an amazing thing. Sometimes, Pastor, you got to be careful not to take too much on yourself. And I do get weary, but it's amazing. The more I lean on Him, the more strength I get. The more that I can do. I have no plans of offloading anything when I get weary because I want to draw more from Him. Let me very quickly mention the reward for serving. God never overlooks service. God sees it. Hebrews 6:10 reminds us of this. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God's not going to forget what you do. If nobody else sees it, God does. God sees it. Not only does he see it, he uses it. God uses small things in big ways. A kind word can be the exact thing that keeps somebody in the fight. A helping hand is what gets more done for the cause of Christ. Obedience. I mentioned something to the men, the ladies, the husbands, the wives, the dads, the moms, but let me say to the young people, sometimes, let me just say, your mom and dad work hard. It's always been difficult to rear children, especially for the Lord, but it's difficult in this day. There's more that they have to do to protect you. There's more they have to do to safeguard you. The world is busier. You don't always have to argue. How about just saying, okay. Now, have your phone out and have 911 pre-dialed. Because when you don't want to give that excuse or when you don't want to say, but let me explain this, you say, Pastor, what's the point of that? Everybody at home ought to be serving each other. But I had to let them know they said that wrong. Why? What does it matter? It's us serving one another. God uses it. God rewards it. We spent some time on the judgment seat of Christ this morning. Let me tell you what nobody's going to talk about, the judgment seat of Christ. They're not going to talk about position. They're not going to talk about popularity. They're not going to talk about platform. All that's going to be rewarded is faithfulness in serving. See, I conclude with this, and we'll have an invitation tonight. Jesus did not just talk about serving, he lived it. Let's not just talk about serving, let's live it. Let's not just say amen to the fact that we agree with serving, let's serve. Certainly in these ministries, that's the way to serve, but don't underestimate, we've highlighted some of that today, being an encouragement is serving. Something as simple as our building is, there's less seats on Sunday morning. Giving up a seat for a visitor, that's serving. Taking time out of your way to walk somebody to the nursery, that's serving. Helping somebody find what they need, that's serving. Let me ask you tonight, are you serving? What else could you do to serve? Maybe tonight there's someone that needs to start serving. Return to serving. Maybe change their spirit in serving. But we all examine this. Let me ask this question. Am I living? That's what we all need to ask ourselves. Am I living to be served? Or am I living to serve? Am I living to be served? To the young men, the young ladies that have a desire to go in ministry, get it out of your mind that ministry is being served. That is not ministry. Not ministry. And this will help some of you understand your pastor a little bit. If I mention something I need, you'll drop everything to do it. You know, that's why I've never let anybody give me a designated parking place. Because I don't know what I'm driving anyway. Say, Pastor, what car are you driving? Whichever one the girls need gas in, that's the one I'm driving the next time. And that might seem like a little thing to you, but it's a big thing to me. Ministry is not being served. It's serving. Well, we go to invitation tonight. Let's just examine our own service. Let's examine our own hearts. We're not going to get, say, well, I want the gratitude, I want the recognition. If that's why you're serving, then it's not going to be fulfilling. So they never knew that I did that. Well, God knows. God knows. Father, help us tonight as we think of these truths. May you work in our hearts tonight.